Back together again, you and I, Thursday, September 12th, 2024, on Connecticut Today, where I applauded Governor Ned Lamont's current position of holding off on committing the state to a long-term deal with Rhode Island and Massachusetts to purchase offshore wind-generated electricity. CBS News correspondent Michael Toscano stopped by to talk about the national political scene after this week's big debate, while Only in Bridgeport blogger Lenny Grimaldi updated us on the Success Village situation and the Bridgeport political scene.
Well, we've now gone from opening up with an update on the electric bills to opening up gladly to an update on maybe no wind power for Connecticut. And now some of the folks, some of the environmentalists, some of the people who are now pointing fingers at us are paying attention to what Governor Ned Lamont, Democratic Governor Ned Lamont, is doing here. How about that? And some of the environmental folks are not happy. Connecticut balks at multi-state effort to boost offshore wind. That's not just in the local papers. That's not just on the local TV networks. That's in national news. That's in Politico. How about that? Benjamin Storrow's news today in Politico in this article. And here's the subhead that's supposed to make all of us who don't want to get our electric bills torqued again feel bad. The state's hesitation, meaning Connecticut, the state's hesitation could imperil a wind project that Massachusetts has committed to support. Who cares? That's me. We keep saying, well, you know, Rhode Island and Massachusetts and Connecticut got together on this. All right, but we didn't have any solid numbers back then. Right? How about letting people see the numbers on this? Governor Ned Lamont cast doubt Wednesday over Connecticut's participation in a New England offshore wind initiative, saying a decision over new projects was to be determined. Good for you, Ned. The governor's comments inject fresh uncertainty as opposed to stale uncertainty. I guess if you want uncertainty, you should go for the fresh center-cut uncertainty. Over the fate of a three-state initiative to buy more offshore wind power. And they raise questions about the future of a project that was awarded a contract last week by Massachusetts. Well, maybe they shouldn't have done that. The governor's hesitancy also comes amid a growing debate over high electricity prices in Connecticut after state lawmakers extended a contract to a nuclear power plant in 2017. Lamont telling reporters during a news conference in Hartford yesterday, quote, everybody wants us to triple down on as much new power, in particular carbon-free power, as we possibly can, he said. And I do as well, but I also have a close eye with the ratepayers because they know how expensive it is. Oh, my God, what is going on? The ratepayers. Oh, wait, is that what I'm hearing? A member of Connecticut government saying, hey, we're concerned because it costs too much. And, of course, it's an election coming up. Don't forget. Don't get over-sexified by, Trump v. Kamala Harris. There are 36 people up for election in the state Senate. 151 people up for election in the state House. Folks, they're sweating this. You know they are. They know they are. They're sweating this. And, again, we're getting estimates here of, kilowatt hour price of a typical Eversource customer could double or triple depending upon what this wind power costs. Connecticut have been expected to announce new contracts for offshore wind power along Massachusetts and Rhode Island, but when Governor Maura Healey announced awards to the three projects last week, along with a small purchase from Rhode Island, Connecticut was conspicuously absent. Yes, how about that? How about this? I got to tell you, and I'll say this again and again and again and again and again and again and again. A lot of you people do not like Ned Lamont for his social policies. We get him. He's pro-choice. I don't want to say he's anti-gun, but he's for more restrictions on guns. But I got to tell you, where the dollars and cents hit the road in this state, you could do a hell of a lot worse on the Democratic Party as possible than Ned Lamont. So apparently what you are doing, and I'll say this again and again and again and again and again, what you are doing is having an effect here. You know, the folks who are signing on to this change.org petition to basically tell Governor Lamont and lawmakers to do something about the high electric bills, do something about these public benefits charges. Well, as I'm looking at it right now, almost 67,000 people have signed up to this. And now people are actually paying attention to this windmill thing. And listen, I want to say this again because I got a couple of nasty emails. Oh, no, you're anti-environment. No. I'm pro-consumer. I'm pro-us getting a full and detailed breakdown here as to how much this wind power would cost, the kilowatt hours and all that sort of stuff that I'm not nearly smart enough to understand. That's what people get paid at high levels above me. But let's break down that kilowatt hour cost. What's it going to cost me and you and everybody else if they start buying this generated power? Nothing against wind power. No, it makes sense. The wind turns the propellers or the turbines, and the turbines generate the electricity, and how about that? And we're all singing kumbaya. What's it going to cost? Think about that. It is just a nice, humble, complete question. What is it going to cost? Are you on the wind bandwagon or not? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Do you like this? Should I shut my mouth? Just stop it, Paul. We need wind power for a greener future. All right, I'm all for wind power, anything that does it cleanly. But do you believe this, or is this another scammerino? Let's just shift to national here. So it's been about a day or so since the debate on Tuesday night between former President Trump and current VP Kamala Harris. The dust starting to settle. We're starting to see some new polls here. So what's the bud? What's the mood? Buzz, rather, the mood. Michael Toscano joining us from CBS News. Michael, good afternoon. It's Paul here in Bridgeport. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Glad to talk to you. That's how I am. How are you doing?
I'm good. And my producer tells me that you've got some Connecticut broadcast roots. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Bristol, so I worked at the radio station there. I worked at the WTIC in Hartford. And I worked at Channel 30 when I was young, but I started when I was 14.
Good for you.
So it was a long time ago.
Yeah. We all looked at that radio that mom had or that was in the house, right? And we were said, hey, let's get into the exciting world of that, right?
I still have that radio from our kitchen, by the way, in my studio.
Oh, my God. And Mike, it was a kitchen radio for me that my mother used to have on all day. She was a stay-at-home mom, and I can remember staring at that going, boy, that sounds like fun. It sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And it sure is. Michael, what are your thoughts on this? We're a day and change out. We're starting to see some of the polls. Give us your 30,000-foot view here of what you saw in the debate. And do you think this really shifted the race or not? What do we have here?
Well, it did a couple of things. And the thing about this is the vice president has her own way of doing things, which is usually at odds with the conventional wisdom. And so far it has worked for her, because I was surprised that she did not really micro-target people in the swing states with specific issues. She did it once or twice. And here's an example. Toward the end, they were talking about Ukraine. And she was talking about how, you know, she was saying, Trump, you're soft on Putin. And if we let Putin take Ukraine, he's going after Poland next. And you need to tell that to the 800,000 Polish Americans in Pennsylvania. And I thought, that's micro-targeting.
Mm.
And it was one of the few times she did that. Now, when she first came out of the gate, it was shock and awe and all this pent up and, you know, anxiety turned into enthusiasm, and it helped propel her, you know, to gain back a lot of the points in the polls that the president had lost.
Yeah.
And then she went against the conventional wisdom. Everybody's saying you got to concentrate on just a few swing states. If you don't win Pennsylvania, you're probably not going to win. Get the governor on your ticket. He's very popular. Governor Josh Shapiro, very popular. She didn't do that. She picked somebody nobody knew, but that added to the overall excitement, which may also help put her over the top in Pennsylvania. She's at least tied with former President Donald Trump right now. Same thing at the convention. She talked about her biography and sort of the big issues, not a lot of specifics. Mm. Now, we've been hearing for weeks, not so much from the polls, but especially in focus groups, that small slice of undecided people is very concerned about we don't know her. And about a quarter of the general electorate says we don't know anything about her on the specifics of what she would do. And we heard a lot of people in focus groups saying, we don't want to hear what's wrong with the other guy. We don't want to hear what you guys did the last 4 years. What are you going to do next time? So far, there's been very, very little of that. But now we've gone from that shock and awe to continue the military look at this. Yeah. Now it's street to street, this, you know, street by street, hand to hand combat for each individual voter. I think we're going to start seeing some of that kind of micro targeting. She's back on the road after being out of sight for a week, getting ready for the debate, which did her a lot of good in terms of clearing up. I think for a lot of people, is she presidential? Can she hold her own on a stage?
Yeah.
Can she talk about issues? She was very good. I mean, talking about Ukraine, she was talking about specific weapon systems and all that kind of stuff, stood up to Donald Trump, put him on the defense. A lot of people, including his own people, are saying, by the way, he just said he's not going to debate her again just a few moments ago. I'm not sure if that's really out yet. So,
yeah, interesting.
So she's got it. Yeah. So right now, she's doing the conventional thing. They're doing a battleground swing starting today. Right now, in fact, she just took the podium in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. She's got a couple of events there. Then they're going back to Pennsylvania tomorrow. And she likes to travel with the governor. But he's off on his own. Her husband's off on his own. They're all separating now. More traditional. I think you're going to see a lot of local interviews. And she's going to try to micro-target those people. So that's where I think we are. And by the way, of course, the president's back out on the road, I believe. Yes, he's in Arizona. Today, and he's trying to deal with the whole thing with his party on in vitro fertilization and abortion, because a lot of people he's tried to moderate, and a lot of people in his party aren't happy with that. They're also not happy that he's talking about putting the government in charge of IVF, because if you're a conservative, that may be too much for you. The government shouldn't be doing that or spending the money on that. So it's not as if those people are going to abandon him and go to Trump, but they might stay home, which is just as bad.
Yeah. And Michael, final question here. You know, like you, I go back in this business. We just mentioned that. And I used to schlep around an old Sony cassette recorder and a microphone all day doing 3 or 4 news conferences. She hasn't done a traditional, wide-open, free-flowing, back-and-forth news conference yet. Do you think she can go the whole way without one? And do you think it would hurt her or not? Is she avoiding that?
Yeah, I know that the people out there, enough of them, especially in the swing states, because it's not the people who are with her. She's got the party. Mm-hmm. Trump has the Republican Party. So she needs to concentrate on those independent voters. So I don't know that they care about how they find out the information. A lot of the times we in the media get upset. Well, the president hasn't held a news conference with us, even if he's out talking to other people all day long. I don't know if that makes – if the medium is as important as the message. As long as she gets that information to them, I think it'll be okay. Okay. I mean, I know her advisors or people are advising her campaign do local TV interviews, as is traditional. Mm. It's always amazing that, that a local TV station can talk to the president or the vice president when they're running for re-election. Normally, you don't get that. I would imagine if WICC calls her campaign, you unfortunately, Connecticut isn't a swing state.
Well, yeah.
Probably will go for her. Yeah. So, but if you were just, a few miles south, maybe in Pennsylvania, you'd probably get her on your show. Maybe you will anyway.
Would be interesting. I'm going to try. Michael Toscano, CBS News. Michael, thanks, and we'll talk down the road. Appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Michael. Michael Toscano there, another Connecticut radio original. WBIS in Bristol. I know some people who worked there back when we had these little local community stations. Well, that's what WICC is to your Bridgeport area, over 90 minutes. All right. All right, Lenny Grimaldi is here. Lenny from onlyinbridgeport.com. Lenny, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Uncle Paulie, what's on the grill tonight, buddy?
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
Here you go, Lenny.
Well, at times he found and he looked like he ate from a dented can of dog food. Or cat food or something that night. But there you go.
We'll talk about that momentarily. But Lenny, what's on the grill? You like that? What's got Lenny? Success Village. I mean, what are these rumblings that if the health department says everybody's got to get out, they got to get out? What is going on here?
Well, the latest, what's on the grill is this federal court, right? So last week, we had a long conversation about the parties making their case before Judge Dale Ratcliffe in Superior Court about why Sussex Village should have a new management team. That Bridgeport and Stratford ran in and said, listen, this place is a mess. No heat, no hot water. The management's incompetent. Mm-hmm. We need a receiver to oversee and get this stuff fixed. So last Friday morning, when it appeared that the hearing was going to end, a lawyer for Sussex Village Management ran into federal court, filed bankruptcy on behalf of Sussex Village.
Yeah, yeah.
Understanding that just a week prior, management was saying, oh, we have all kinds of money and we're going to fine. But court testimony showed they're broke. They've been wasting money over like crazy. So that bankruptcy filing put a halt to the hearing in Superior Court.
Sure,
but
yeah.
Just a few hours ago, so this is breaking news. The federal bankruptcy judge, Julie Manning, issued an order for an expedited hearing.
Okay.
That will be next Thursday, right? And so that's going to address the motion by Bridgeport and Stratford to dismiss the bankruptcy application.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lawyers for the city and for Bridgeport and Stratford are just saying, you know, this was a bad faith litigation tactic, a stall effort that's only going to add more pressure to the infrastructure issues over there.
Yeah.
So they're going to ask this judge to toss it. And if she does, it'll go back to Superior Court and then we'll resume the hearing. So that's what's going on right now. So effectively going into bankruptcy, it's at least lost 2 to 3 weeks of time.
So, Lenny, what's the story I read that as of 2022 under the previous management, there was allegedly like $1.6 or $1.8 million in cash reserves. And now 2 years later, there's allegedly 4,000 or 5,000. Where's the money?
It's going to lawyers and consultants. Lawyers are making a fortune the last couple of years, and so have consultants. So they basically, you know, they bring in these consultants and these lawyers. I mean, it's just the onion has to be peeled away.
Oh,
it's
my God.
It's going to take some time for all the information to come out. So you have the Sussex Village Board Chair, Ty Bird, and the lawyer representing them, Dennis
Bradley.
We want to control our own destiny. You know, lawyers for the city said, you've had a long time to control your destiny, and it's a mess over there. You're incompetent, and you're spending money all over the place. You know, to the detriment of the residents there who have no heat and hot water. You know, we're talking about 2,000 people, about 1,000 units.
Oh.
Split between Bridgeport and Stratford. It's just a, you know, tragic situation. So the judge said, listen, get your paperwork in, make your arguments so I can read it, make an informed decision before we go into court next Thursday in federal court and see how this plays out. Hopefully she comes to a quick resolution on this and sees it for what it is and says tosses it and it goes back to Superior Court where, you know, with Judge Ratcliffe will likely appoint a new management team.
Poor people that live there. Anita Martinez set to challenge Andre Baker. She's going third party line here in Bridgeport. What are your thoughts on that?
Now, this is not about winning as much as it is about making the new movement party relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is really all about. And both Ernie Newton's doing the same thing. You know, Ernie got crushed in the primary by the incumbent, Heron Gaston.
Yeah.
Anita Martinez had a really close race. She almost took out the incumbent, Andre Baker. But the late Charlie Coviello, longtime politician, he created a new movement party.
Yeah.
And it's now, you know, run by Tony Barr, a political activist. And Barr wants to keep the party relevant. You know, you need a certain amount of votes for the party line to hold, to appear in the future.
Yeah.
And that's what this really is all about. It's not about winning. It's about party relevance. And you've seen the third parties, whether it's the Working Families Party or the Bridgeport Independent Party. And in some cases, you know, they've had some value in somebody.
Yeah.
Close races are being an option, you know, for someone else under certain circumstances. So that's what this is all about.
So describe then, Lenny, before we get to your old boss here in that debate performance the other night, describe the new movement party. You said what it is from a tactic standpoint. Where do they come down on the spectrum? Are they a moderate party? Are they to the left of traditional Democrats in Bridgeport? What is their vision here?
There is pretty much traditional. It was just started, you know, to be a different kind of voice, to have a platform. But it's, you know, right now it's still kind of new. You know, Coviel started it. Charlie died a few years ago, just to have, you know, a platform of power, a platform of political power,
yeah,
and give a landing place to somebody. So this is really right now for Tony Barr, who's the director of the party. This is just building blocks to be relevant in the future. And, you know, he could very well do it, because if something happens here, something happens in the primary, if something happens, you know, where you don't make it.
Yeah.
There's a landing spot. And in certain situations, he's not there yet. You know, there could be a situation where if he's supporting, you know, a major party candidate in the future, like you've seen with the Working Families Party, those extra votes could be relevant. And so I think what he also wants to do, he wants to create some relevance, just not for the general election, to have building blocks so he can be relevant supporting someone in a Democratic primary.
Lenny Grimaldi from OnlyInBridgeport.com. Lenny, Vice President Harris and her team did a masterful job of poking and prodding and getting under the skin, getting personal with your old boss. Where does he go from here? I mean, he still has his hardcore 45, 46, 47%, but could this thing be over now after that or not?
I don't think so. Just before I came out, I was checking around. There were a couple of polls that came out. A Reuters poll that shows that she's got a 5-point lead.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, I don't take a lot of stock in these national polls. You know, unless it's a major lead.
Yeah.
You know, I still look at this 10 or so battleground states in the Midwest and the Sun Belt. And, you know, that's going to be the key. Well, probably by, you know, tomorrow on Saturday, because it takes, you know, kind of 3 days or so to go out in the field and get the information for a poll. Maybe tomorrow on Saturday you're going to see more polls and more battleground state polls, and that will be more telling. And so, you know, my sense is he doesn't want any part of her in that debate anymore.
Yeah,
I think what she showed was she could stand up to him.
Yeah.
You know, she came across as thoughtful and tough. You know, as I told you, you know, stick and move. And, you know, he was caught off balance sometimes, and he talked about all kinds of crazy stuff. His problem is, he's not talking about the bread and butter economic issues that people
have.
He's talking about all this crazy dog and cat stuff, you know?
No pun intended.
It's raining cats and dogs right now. So, he's just going to keep throwing it, see what sticks.
Yeah.
You know, and I think right now there's a lot of dissension probably in his campaign.
Yeah. No.
Right. He's always looking for people to blame. That's what he does. He blames the lawyers. He blames the consultants when things don't go right.
Yeah.
Because he's smart and everyone else is stupid. And that's how it works.
No, it doesn't work that way. I've tried that in the past. And no, Paul, you're not smart. Sit down, shut up. This is not a discussion. Lenny, and people that told me that are now my best friends. Lenny Grimaldi, OnlyInBridgeport.com. Lenny, thanks. Be good. We'll chat next week, my friend. Thank you.
All right, I got to go tend to the grill now. So.
Goodbye. Oh, man.